Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you, Leanne, for having me.
To get started, I want to talk a little bit about the numbers in the community. COVID, we've been in the national news in the last couple weeks talking about the high number of COVID cases. St. Clair, being a regional healthcare facility, is really stretched to the max on their resources, trying to make sure that they can take care of everybody. Let's talk a little bit about how things are looking in the county, because it's a little bit scary out there right now.
Well, Leanne, you know, our numbers started to surge like everyone else's did a month or so back. But hopefully, you know, if you listen to a lot of the experts on national news this and also listen to the governor, we hope that it'll level off. But the unfortunate part, it's going to level off, and it's leveling off extremely high. So what we hope that it'll start a downturn here pretty soon because our hospital, as everyone knows and national news noted this morning, our hospital is certainly crowded, to say the least, and they're doing a lot of the transfusions out in a tent and in the parking lot. So, you know, our worst fears have somewhat come true, that we would overfill the hospital and have to do some stuff in the parking lot. So we're actually doing that now. Our numbers last week were extremely high in Round County and in the health department district of five counties. Tapered off a little bit over the weekend. So I'm hopefully optimistic that this week that they'll level off and or start to decline, but we will wait till the end of this week before we'll know that.
One of the reasons that we weren't able to have you on last week is because I was in quarantine myself. My family member was exposed, and so we were hanging out at the house for a few days, and which is always nice to be able to chat with you. We just had to put it off for a few days. Let's talk a little bit about the kids in the community. I know that there have been entire classrooms that have been quarantined, and quarantining out of an abundance of caution when a positive case comes into the school. Sometimes they have to quarantine a whole classroom. What are you seeing as far as numbers from kids? I know a while back you decided not to publicize the age numbers just because it's so much work for the healthcare professionals. But do you have any information on that now that things are starting to plateau?
We really don't. I still don't get the ages. It's still overwhelming. You know, last week we still had in the high 40s for numbers. And our health department, our contact tracing team, is responsible for the district as well. So, you know, when you put 100 cases in a day, it's very hard to put all the numbers and all the pieces together. What I have seen, though, is the number of children cases when we were getting the numbers, had definitely started to increase. And I think they're still, about the same as they were to begin with. They had increased some, but it still wasn't at a horrible number. A lot of times the quarantine and the isolation is, as you said, someone has been exposed to it. It may have been a family member that was exposed to it. Out of an abundance of caution, which we're very fortunate that our school board takes everything very serious. And so they're doing everything they can to keep the kids in school, but still do it with that margin of safety, I believe. But the kids' numbers overall, I don't think, you know, from what I see in the hospital, I don't see a huge number of smaller kids in hospitals, but they are still being infected. There's still some being treated at home. So it's still a very serious thing for kids that are school age.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that's been happening because of the COVID pandemic is the American Rescue Plan Act is giving funding to local communities in order to kind of offset the cost of dealing with this pandemic. And, you know, I know in the beginning when we were getting CARES Act funding, a lot of the money was going towards, you know, paying for the ambulance service runs who weren't getting reimbursed in the same way that they were before, or making sure that payroll was met for law enforcement agencies. That way people could still have the protection that they needed. American Rescue dollars are starting to roll into the community. And the last time I talked with the mayor, she was talking about, you know, getting a committee together to try to decide how to spend the monies that were going to be given to the city. But I did notice on the fiscal court agenda for last week's meeting that there was some money that's going to be allocated. Tell me a little bit about how the ARP money is going to be spent through the county.
The ARP money for the county, to be honest, there is certain things that we know is approved to be able to expend that money on. And there's certain things that we are very unsure of what we can spend it on. So what the fiscal court has decided is we are going to, there's things that we have to do. A county morgue for the county coroner is an absolute necessity. You know, we've received a request from John Northcutt to move the morgue from the hospital. We put a cooler in there a number of years ago, but the numbers are just gotten so high that it's really unsafe, and it's unfair to the hospital to take care of the number of bodies that's not just from COVID, but from overdose and other tragedies. So we know that that's okay to spend the money on that, because we went through DLG and through CAECO, and they've agreed that this would be an expenditure that would be acceptable. What we don't want to do is expend money on something that we're not sure of, because if we spend it and it's not approved, then we have to pay that funding back. So we're still, we're very cautious with what we plan on spending it on. It is really mostly services that provide a benefit to all of the residents around county. And we're still waiting on the final rule has come from the Department of Treasury, but it's really not filtered through the attorneys at the CAECO level and other levels to know what we really can spend it on. But I'm going to a conference at the end of this week, and we hope we'll have some of those answers, and then we can make a plan for what we really want to spend the remaining ARPA funds on. So we're just kind of holding right now. I think it's a little premature to expend or plan on spending money on parks or whatever, and we don't know for sure that that's legal.
Right. Now, I noticed that one of the things that was discussed was the expenditure of those funds for a broadband coordinator. And also, the fiscal court is doing a request for proposals dealing with broadband. You and I had talked several months ago about how important it was to fill out the survey detailing broadband coverage within the community. Tell me where those things are at right now. What's happening with them?
Well, the two things that we know for sure that ARPA will fund, and that's water and sewer expansion as well as broadband. So we know we're very safe in broadband. So that was in the very beginning of this ARPA, and it's never wavered. It's always been broadband. So we've been working on this for 2.5 years since I've been in office, trying to figure out how to get fiber, high-speed internet to everyone in the county. And then, of course, along comes COVID, and it really highlighted the need not only for the schools, but the medical profession and so on. So we did an RFP back a few months ago with requesting proposals to how you would deploy and put fiber to every door in Round County, and what the expense would be and how you would go about doing that. And so we received back three proposals. One proposal we received from Windstream, we received one from Spectrum, and one from Zoom Incorporated. And Windstream, we had a committee together. We had a committee from the university, MCTC, the hospital, the school board, Brown County, the city. They sat down and scored these RFPs. And as of now, it looks like Windstream outscored the other two. So we are in negotiations with Windstream at this time to see what the actual nuts and bolts and how we're going to deploy it and what it will really cost for the service once it's deployed. So we're getting closer to having an answer on those, and we hope to have that by, I want to say, within the next 2 weeks. We're going to put the grant towards to proposal to Frankfurt, and then we'll probably know something latter part of the year on whether we were approved or not. And if it's approved, then we'll be able to provide fiber to most all of the homes in Round County. And that's a, you know, that's a tremendous win for everybody in the county, and all of the businesses really in the county.
Mm-hmm. I live downtown, and I have great access to internet. I really don't have any problems with my service, and I'm able to plug in, which is awesome for when times when I have to work from home, or when we were doing remote schooling. It was very nice to have the virtual learning available, but not everybody in our community has that opportunity. So I know that the pandemic has really highlighted the disparity for people who absolutely need that. I think it's a great thing that our community is really focusing in on that, making sure that everybody has equitable access to broadband.
Well, that's our top priority in the fiscal court right now is broadband, because we know it's not only important for our kids, but and telehealth, it's also important for economic development. So, you know, when people look at coming into the county, they've got a checklist they go by, and, you know, water, sewer, and infrastructure. Well, at the top of that list is also a broadband capability. It's at the top of the list now. So we know that it's important, not only for just the citizens, the schools, the telehealth, the library, all those, but we know it's very important for economic development. Some of our surrounding counties have high-speed broadband, and they have a lot of work from home. They actually have more people working from home than Round County does. You think that's a little odd, but they have they have fiber to the door in Menifee, Morgan, and Elliott County, believe it or not. So they get a lot of folks moving there to work from home. So we know that it's economics. We know that the big industry has to have it as well. So it's important to all of us. So that's our number one priority.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Nick Forster. This week in E-Town, we're going to take a look at our 1999 season featuring some great music from people like Dave Alvin, Kim Ritchie, Bruce Coburn, Chris Isaak, Kelly Jo Phelps, some Hawaiian music, some Scottish music, some African music. That's all coming this week in E-Town.
E-Town, Saturday mornings at 10 on MSPR.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Harry Clark, the judge executive here in Rowan County. Harry, thanks again for being here. You brought up economic development earlier in the show and how broadband is important to that. And I've been noticing some trucks moving through the community and some land being cleared off and things being planned. Let's talk about some new businesses that are going to be rolling into the county and how things are looking there. Are there anything that you can actually tell me what's being built just yet that's happening out there in the county?
Well, you know, Leanne, Round County has been very fortunate, even through COVID, to attract a lot of businesses. Of course, App Harvest is in the construction phase of another leafy green greenhouse right now, which is great. Of course, we've got the cooperage that should be finishing up and opening up here sometime early spring. So that's all good news. We had Kyle Cottle from I forget exactly what his name and his company is, but he's building agricultural equipment that's in the old Larry Fannin used car lot, as well as, you know, they are clearing up and the North Fork Trailer Park, as we used to know it or formerly know it and still call it, They're cleaning that up and getting that prepared for a Cattleman Steakhouse. And I'm not sure what else is going in there. I know they're under negotiations to put some other things there. But there's a lot of things going on in the county. I think there's a tumbleweeds coming in. There's an immediate care service coming, I think, in the future. So a lot of things going on around county, and all of those adds to quality of life for the residents around county, which will, at the end of the day, help us bring more economic development to around county and keep the folks here. That's the big thing. We want to raise our kids here. We grew up here. We want to raise our kids here. We don't want them to go away to have to find work. So it's all working out well, and Round County is certainly moving.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that the fiscal court discussed during their meeting last week was a discussion of the EMS building modifications. We've been working on that building, trying to get everything squared away up there for a while now. Kind of got back on the back burner for a bit because of COVID. But I know that the last time you and I talked about it, you were expressing a little frustration about going forward. So where's that project right now?
Well, I'm still frustrated, Leanne, if that helps. We're in a temporary occupancy permit now. We had the first one, and now we're in the second temporary occupancy, and it's just over stuff that should have never happened. But we're going to work our way through this. It's really a great facility. The EMS folks really, really do appreciate it. It affords them the opportunity to get some rest before they go out on the runs. They're not stacked on top of each other like they were in the other place, which lends itself to COVID, just a breeding ground for COVID when they're all sitting in one spot in one room. So here there's places they can scatter out, and they've got a nice kitchen facility. Nice sleeping arrangements, and it's going to work out really well. It's working out well now. We just got to get through the hurdle of the temporary occupancies and get the little gnats swatted out of the way and get full possession of it and move on from there. So it's working. It was a great investment. We're doing some modifications to it. As you design a building, one, you forget a few things. But the other part of that is everything you put in it, you pay engineering design for. Well, some of the stuff we didn't really need an engineer to design for us. So we're going to back up and recoup and put some splash guards up around the inside of the ambulance space, so when the snow drips off, it don't get on the sheetrock. And just stuff like that really is what we're doing. Just clean up items that we're just going to make it more comfortable, more usable. And it'll take us right on into the future.
Now, with the approval of the coroner's facility, will that be the next building project that the county is going to jump into, or are there anything else on the docket for building right now?
Right now, it's just two items. That'll be the modifications to the EMS facility and also the coroner's office. And the coroner's office will... it'll be worked hand in hand with the EMS facility. It's the same contractor, got both bids, so got them both. So he'll be working back and forth. But we anticipate those to be done. I'm hoping, around the first of the year, both projects will be done, and our coroner will be in a new facility. It'll be a nice facility. It'll be functional not only for Round County, but it's also going to be large enough that if we had some regional problem in the region, we would be able to assist other counties with the morgue space. And we hope that never happens, but we always got to plan for the worst.
Right. Plan for the worst and hope for the best. That's what I always say. Now, looking at the agenda, one of the things that went through with new business was accepting tax rates for the Board of Education, the Public Library, the Health Department. I was expecting to see no change on most of those, which is what happened, but I was surprised to see a decrease in some of those tax rates. What was the thinking behind that? I know that those individual boards make the decision, but what did they say to you about taking less money?
Well, actually, it comes back to when you take the compensating rate. If you want to hold it the same, then you want to get the exact amount of dollars that you got last year on the taxes last year. So if the if property increases in value, then you don't have to take the same percentage to get the same dollar amount. So as you see the decreases, ours decreased a little bit in the county. Well, all that means is we decreased 0.1 in the county in real property, simply because of our economic development, property values have increased. So we, to keep the same dollar amount, we could actually decrease the rate. And that's the same thing the other folks did too. They just took compensating rate to get the same dollar amount. And in this case, we had more dollars to tax, so the rate went down. And that's kind of a real layman's way of explaining it, but that's how it works.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I was just kind of surprised to see it. And so I was like, I'm going to ask him about that because I don't understand why that happens. But yeah. I do know that property values are going up in the community, which is always, I mean, that's kind of a good thing, although it makes it hard for some people when they were looking to buy a home. But, you know, increasing the rate just means kind of that the community is prospering.
It does. You know, it does. And especially, you know, when you see this compensating rate, it's actually a decrease. It shows that, you know, that our property values are up. And for example, App Harvest, you know, this would be the first year of full tax on their 60-acre greenhouse. Mm-hmm. So that piece of property probably added $17 million to the tax roll, which allowed us to decrease to get the same dollars that we would have got the year before last. So that's kind of how it works. Eventually, you know, you have to raise or you have to take a different number depending on what you're trying to accomplish in services wise. We've been very fortunate. We have been able to manage our dollars and provide the services that we need throughout the county without increasing taxes. And we certainly hope that we can continue to do that.
Now, a lot of the big events that are usually planned throughout the community have kind of been put on hold because of COVID, but outdoor events are some happening at smaller capacities. Is there anything that's coming up in the community that you want to let our listeners know that's coming up?
Well, really, you know, we don't have any big events coming up because everybody's really cautious about trying to schedule something and then having to cancel it. So we don't really have any great big events. The Brown County Fiscal Court, just to offset some of the things that we've canceled, we're going to have a Halloween decorating contest, just like we did last year, with some really unique prizes from the public and from the business. We also, you know, this year we won't be able to have the traditional Cebu to Drugs. That'll be canceled. So we're hoping to offset that with a Halloween contest. And of course, Halloween is still on for the 31st. Everybody can go trick-or-treating and do what they want. We just didn't want that many people in one place at one time. So we'll also have a Christmas decorating contest like we did last year. So we'll have some little things that just won't be the big things that people plan on and invest in because we just don't know how the COVID numbers are going to go.
And on that note, we're out of time here on Open Mic. Judge Executive Harry Clark, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Well, Leanne, we certainly do appreciate the opportunity to spread the good news and sometimes the bad news into the county. We want everybody to continue to be patient, and we will work our way through this, and we'll just be much stronger when we're finished.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.